on Live Local First, 790 KFGO and KFGO.com.
So now David Letterman is making fun of us, Pinto. David Letterman is making fun of Fargo. Did you catch the top 10 list from last night's David Letterman?
I saw it on the interwebs.
On the interwebs? And we'll play it later in the show. I know Jack and Sandy played it during their show. But what did you think? Funny, offensive, over the top, not funny? What?
I thought he could have done better with number one overall. Was funny. You have to take it with a grain of salt or a beer, if you will, when you hear that stuff, because it's just he's just poking fun at us.
No, I'm not offended. I mean, we are what we are. Apparently,
right.
We really like to drink a lot in Fargo-Moorhead and much of North Dakota. But I agree. I thought the first couple, three were kind of funny, and then they got less funny as the list went on. I thought it could have been reversed, and it would have been funnier.
Right.
But that we'll play it later in the show. We'll play it at 3:05 or so. And we'll ask the deep and probing question of whether or not all publicity is good publicity, because now it's starting to become like a national story that we're a bunch of fall-down drunks in Fargo, and I'm not sure that that's the best way you want to be known as, but we'll get to that later. And it's kind of a tie-in in our first hour, because our first hour here, 2 to 3 p.m., Fargo Police Chief Keith Turnus has joined us in studio for his monthly cop talk, cop chat, police banter, whatever you want to call it, on the Mike McFeely Show. Hello, Chief. How are you?
Good. How are you doing, Mike?
Happy New Year. We haven't talked for a while.
It has been a little while.
What did you do? December we missed, so I assume you were out fishing the entire month?
And no.
Relaxing, having fun? What?
Well, relaxing and having a good time, yes. But fishing, no. I have not made it out onto the ice yet this year.
Here's the deal. He's going to be with us until 3 o'clock. And keep in mind that this is the police chief of a metropolitan area. It's not in every town, every radio station, that you get a chance to interact with your police chief. So if you have a question or comment about anything police or law enforcement related that you have a question about, here's your access to the top guy in Fargo, 237-5948 or 800-880-5346. You can text message us at 35270. Please include the word Mike, or you can email us at kfgo.studio@kfgo.com. Speaking of drunkest city in America, let's start there. As a law enforcement officer, factually, do you see that Fargo has an ungodly number of drinking-related incidents? And as a police chief, do you believe we're the drunkest city in America?
No. In fact, I'm a little surprised that as much time and attention is getting placed on that recent article. I don't put any credibility in that whatsoever. In fact, wasn't it 2 or 3 years ago? We were number one on some other alcohol-related, the most binge drink or something along those lines.
I think it was binge drinking.
And,
yep.
I don't put any stock. I just don't put any stock in this recent article. I think it makes for good comedy and a point of some banter, but I just don't put any stock in that article. However, with that being said, and when we talk about statistically and maybe more even practically, I do think it's fair to say that do we have a alcohol consumption problem both maybe throughout North Dakota and more specifically in Fargo? The answer to that is, yeah, we do. And I'll give you just one real quick statistic that demonstrates that. In 2013, we're going to see that we had over 3,600 admissions into the city's detox facility.
Oof.
So now keep in mind, that's not 3,600 individuals, it's admission.
So there's some repeat people.
Some people were admitted into the detox facility numerous times over the course of that year. So what we find is, that number is a little startling. Our impaired driving arrest numbers are going to be modest again. We'll be over 800 for the year just in the city of Fargo. I think we do still have a little an issue with some underage drinking. So when we talk about the issue of problematic alcohol consumption, do we have a tough issue that we still need to address and tackle? Absolutely. Is it to the extent that you might see in this periodical that came out recently? No. I like I said, I just don't put a lot of value in that.
And you talk with other law enforcement officers from around the country. You're tied into the network, and you got no gentlemen mm-hmm. and women in larger cities or metro areas similar to our size. I don't know how you'd couch the question, but do you talk about alcohol consumption with those folks? And do some cities have higher incidences of consumption than others? Because, Fargo, we do seem to take pride in our tailgating. And we do seem to take pride that 17,000 people went down to Frisco, Texas and rocked it out for 3 days in Texas. And we see that as, hey, we're fun-loving people. We like to booze it up. And I talk about it on the radio. I write about it on my blog. I have been known to have a couple of beers now and then as well. I'm not innocent. But do other enforcement officers see us as a party town or a drunk town?
No. In fact, like I say, when I visit with other police chiefs or sheriffs from around the country, you know, the reaction I get when they find out from that I'm from Fargo is, hey, you got a huge alcohol problem there, don't you? That doesn't happen. In fact, I think in fairness, it's easy to say that comparatively speaking, Fargo really is no different than a lot of other communities of similar size, communities that have a big college student population. The issues are very much mirror images of one another. But maybe the one thing that is a little unique about Fargo and North Dakota, maybe this part of the country, is kind of that cultural acceptance, if you will, that goes along with alcohol consumption. In other parts of the country, that level of acceptance or tolerance, whether it's, again, relative to drunk driving or underage drinking, there's other communities in other parts of the country that seem to take a little harsher stand on those issues from a public opinion standpoint than maybe we do here. But beyond that, I don't think there's a lot of difference.
I'm going to take a phone call. Mike in Argusville. Mike, you're on with Fargo Police Chief Keith Turnus. Go ahead.
Good afternoon. I thought I'd beat the rush at 2:45.
Thank you, Mike. We appreciate that.
Hey, Mike, by the way, do they call you Little Chief on these days?
No, they don't, as a matter of fact.
Okay.
No.
They just give you a little plastic whistle or something. Anyway, if anybody doesn't know, it's winter again. And, Chief, a few years ago, the piles of snow at the intersection was so high. And I had a daughter, and there were numerous people that I heard in the same situation. They would stop at a stop sign going onto a main road. They'd inch out and inch out until they could see traffic. By that time, it was too late. Somebody smacked into her. Well, she was given a ticket for failing to yield the right of way. Now, if the snow is so high you can't see down the road, how can anybody be held responsible if the city's not making those intersections safe?
Yeah, that's a good question. And without knowing all of the dynamics about your daughter's situation, you know, it seems like a little bit of a stretch that she would have gotten a citation if under those circumstances. That issue comes up just about every winter. A lot of the snow piling, of course, takes place by some private contractors and private property owners. The city does a fairly good job in terms of trying to work with those property owners to get those snow banks or those snow piles placed someplace where they don't create a traffic problem. But as you said, every winter that becomes a huge challenge.
Yeah, but she was on a city street going on to a major avenue, so it's not a private individual. That's the city's property. That's their responsibility.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I would agree with that.
Okay, Mike, thank you. Thanks for the phone call. Need to take a break. Pinto, 237-5948, 800-880-5346. KFGO.studio at KFGO.com is our email. Fargo Police Chief Keith Turnus in studio with us until 3 o'clock. I need to ask you, you know a lot of other police chiefs and stuff. Huh?
I do.
You know the police chief in Frisco, Texas?
No.
Well, you should get to know him. Because I might have to call in a favor. I was good driving, like not all of us down there don't have any idea what you're doing where you're driving because it's a different city. And I got stuck right in the middle of one of those deals where the light turned yellow on a road. Okay. And right as I'm going, and I'm through the intersection, and it's perfectly safe, I'm doing nothing wrong. But right when I get to almost the middle of the intersection, the light turned red. And then a flash went off.
Uh-oh.
Now, does that mean they have me on camera as going through a red light?
You should expect to probably receive something in the mail that's postmarked from Frisco, Texas.
God, that's going to be big trouble. That's going to be big in a lot of ways. And my boss is now going, oh, nice, good. That's really, So I can't have you call in a favor? I can't?
Well, I don't know. Do you want me to? They might tell me some other things that happened down there. I don't know. Do you want me
No, that's all. No, I was good. I was a good boy. Okay. I wasn't one of the people partying. I was working.
Okay, good.
Make the phone call for me if you could. I have the mayor's cell phone number. See what you can do for me. Text message comes in. I'm just kidding, folks, by the way, too. He would never do that for me. Text message chief says, Mike, please ask Chief Turnus to send his troops into downtown Fargo to remove and ticket non-delivery vehicles blocking our downtown alleys. Do you get complaints about non-delivery vehicles blocking downtown alleys?
Well, yes, but this is the byproduct for the transition that took place, making some of the one-way streets two ways. Prior to that transition, delivery vehicles were permitted to double park on the avenues for the purposes of unloading or loading when they were downtown. And now, of course, those delivery trucks have to find some other alternative, and I'm guessing most of them are finding their ways into the alleys, but just for the purposes of loading or unloading. And so, again, it's one of those things that we've kind of anticipated when that switch to one ways to two ways took place. Of course, if those commercial vehicles are in there for hours upon hours, different story. But if they're in there for loading or unloading purposes, they're okay.
Another text message comes in, says, and this is more for a trooper than a Fargo police officer, I'll ask you anyway. If I am on the interstate, do I have to pull over if you have a full lane to work with, me on the right and you on the left? Does that make any sense at all?
I think there might be some reference there to the kind of the move over law, as it's known, when a trooper or a sheriff's deputy or another law enforcement vehicle has somebody stopped, there is that requirement to move over. So if that's what they're referring to, then they have to do that.
Is that a universal law around the country, or is that just state by state?
I'd have to go back and see if North Dakota did in fact impose that during the last legislative session. You're right, it's something we don't deal with in the city that often. But I know other states, and I believe Minnesota is one of them, where that is in fact current law.
And it's a good law because some troopers, some citizens have been hit along freeways, sadly, and along other roads as well. But if you have ever pulled over on the freeway to change a tire, for example, or do anything along the side of the freeway where it's a situation where you have to stop and get out of your vehicle, it is the most terrifying moment of your life when you're along a freeway, you know, between the white line and you have semis and vehicles going by 75, 80 miles an hour. It is terrifying.
Yeah, and you know that the shoulder is not as wide as what it might appear as you're going by. When you're stopped there, and you're right, if you have to change a tire, it can be a very dynamic and dangerous situation.
A couple things I'm going to save until after the bottom of the hour, including the sex trafficking, the talk that's been going on with Senator Heitkamp, Senator Klobuchar, and others, and also drugs going out to West North Dakota and that whole thing. I talked to a powerful state legislator today in our building, and he said, you wouldn't believe where some of the money is coming from in the drug trade out in West North Dakota. So we'll talk about that after the bottom of the hour, and some of the burglaries and robberies that have been going on around town. You guys, I understand, are getting close to kind of wrapping some of those things up. But just a couple minutes left, so I won't get into that now. But I will ask you about the story, I think it was in Moorhead the other day, with the party bus. And Pinto brought this up before the show, but there was a party bus where the guys got out of control. They went into a convenience store, got in a big fight, and knocked a bunch of stuff off the shelves and everything else. And I thought Daniel asked a good question of you. He said, so does the bus company or does the limo or whoever rents it out, do they have any liability in these situations when it comes to, and he referenced the underage people who are on the bus drinking. Is the bus company on the hook for any of this?
Well, you know, I don't know much about what actually took place over in South Moorhead, but the answer to the question is they could. It depends upon the circumstances. For example, if the party bus or the owners, operators of that are actually providing alcohol, especially if they're providing it to minors, yes, they certainly could be held accountable for that. I don't think that's part of the dynamic here. In some ways, and the analogy I gave Daniel was, you know, if you get two or three minors that are intoxicated or have consumed alcohol and they climb into the back of a cab, you know, the cab company bears little to no responsibility for them using or consuming alcohol. But again, it really depends. I mean, there are some limo companies, I suppose, that facilitate the use of alcohol. Party buses, I think, do the same. But unless they've actually provided or facilitated the alcohol use, I don't see them holding
it. Well, but it would be, so if you have, and this is getting into legalese, and it's more of a lawyer question probably than a law enforcement question, but if you rent a party bus Does the driver have to check IDs or anything? Because you could have 10 people get on a bus, 5 would be 22, 5 would be 20, yeah. and they could all be drinking booze.
Yeah. So you know, from a civil standpoint, it's certainly a good business practice. From a criminal standpoint, I don't know if they've got any requirement to do that.
Okay. Fargo Police Chief Keith Turnus in studio with us for about another half hour. It is 2:36 in the Mike McFeely Show on the Mighty 790 KFGO on this wonderful Friday afternoon. Fargo Police Chief Keith Turnus in studio with us until 3 o'clock. And so if you have a question or comment for the chief regarding law enforcement in Fargo or in general in the world, go ahead and give us a call. He'll be happy to take a crack at answering it. 237-594-8800-880-5346, kfgo.studio at kfgo.com is our email, or you can text us at 35270. Please include the word Mike so I know it is directed at me. I had Senator Heitkamp on the other day, yesterday as a matter of fact, I think, Chief, and she and Senator Klobuchar from Minnesota are sort of trying to spearhead this Stop Child Sex Trafficking in North Dakota, Minnesota, and across the country as well, of course, because they're senators. But all indications are is that this is a growing problem in the western part of our state, which means that it is going to become or already is a problem for Fargo and the eastern part of the state because they generally, some people come through here going that way. What are you seeing as the chief of Fargo's police?
Well, it's already a problem here, and not because we make a lot of arrests or that we're investigating a lot of cases of child sex trafficking, but they have happened here, and it's one of the reasons why we put so much emphasis on doing some of our prostitution stings. Most of the prostitutes that come to Fargo are, of course, they're from everywhere from Minneapolis to Chicago to other parts of the country. And from time to time, we find that they are, in fact, children. They're under 18 years of age. Now, again, that doesn't happen every day. But if we don't remain or maintain some vigilance in terms of dealing with that prostitution issue, which some people continue to say, look, that's a private issue. It shouldn't be unlawful. And I'll tell you what, it becomes a very serious issue to me and really to our community when we're talking about underage kids who are forced into that type of activity.
And as I talked with Senator Heitkamp, it's not only kids from somewhere else, which for some reason that people maybe might go, well, it's, you know, kids from Chicago. No, it's kids not only from Chicago or Texas or New York or overseas. It's children from the state of North Dakota who are being coerced and forced and everything else into the sex trade.
Well, that's true. In fact, there's at least one case from the northern part of the state, and I don't want to get into too many details there, where by way of some online solicitation, that's exactly what happened. A teenage girl from North Dakota was actually being forced to be involved in sex activities with adults, and I think that issue has the possibility, as more and more people work their way into Western North Dakota from all corners of the country, I think this, along with several other what I would categorize as vice issues, drugs, those types of gambling, those types of things, I think they have a real potential to grab a foothold here in our state, which is something that we're not accustomed to. I mean, organized crime is something that we really haven't seen, but I think the recipe is just right now for some of those things to really gain a foothold.
Well, you have a transient population in the western part of the state. You have lots of money, all kinds of money available, you know, in oil and in the salaries and the wages. There's just the opportunity there. It's basic common sense and economics that if the opportunity is there, there are going to be people of ill repute who are going to make their way to the western part of the state and try to take advantage of it.
And all of those things right now, and they really have been for the last couple of years, they are overwhelming. They are overwhelming the law enforcement services. They're overwhelming the social services. They are overwhelming to the atmosphere that exists really throughout the state. And so, again, when we take a look at organized crime, regardless of what it is, again, what a great opportunity for them because, again, they know that law enforcement does not have the resources to really be paying as close attention as we need to or want to. And so why not? Why wouldn't you? If you're If you're a gang that's running prostitutes or drugs or some type of illegal gambling operation, why wouldn't you want to come to a place where law enforcement is just overtaxed?
Well, and I ran into Al Carlson, State House Majority Leader, in the break room this morning. He substituted for Joel Heitkamp on News and Views. And I had a five-second conversation with Al because we were crossing paths getting coffee or whatever. And Al said, you know, I've seen some of the statistics, some of the information. And he said, you wouldn't believe where some of the stuff is being traced to, Mike. He said, you know, we're talking drugs. We're talking, he said, we're seeing money traced to Cuba. We're seeing money traced to, I think he said, Colombia. We're seeing money traced to Russia. He said, right here in North Dakota, mm-hmm. we got money. And when I'm here in Russia, I'm thinking Russian mob is getting a foothold in Western. I mean, that's amazing to me. Amazing.
And
frightening.
And you touched on it. I mean, it's a lucrative thing. So why wouldn't those, why wouldn't organized crime from, again, all corners, why wouldn't they find, this is fertile ground for them. And the real challenge, and I don't think it's too late, but the real challenge is to put the time, the energy, and dedicate the resources to combating those issues right now. Waiting another 2, 3, 4 years, now the issue is really going to have gotten away from us. So I think when we talk legislators, when we talk about you know, even local elected officials, I think it becomes a real issue. It's something we need to pay attention to. If not, we're going to wait, and we're going to find that all of a sudden we've got some of the same troubles and issues that you might expect to find in Chicago or Miami or Los Angeles. They'll be right here in our own backyard.
Well, and if I recall, and this is probably 3, 4 years ago when the oil boom wasn't quite what it is now, but it was just kind of getting going, and we're all kind of trying to get a grasp on what was going to happen. I remember, you know, some troopers and some other law enforcement officials from around the state saying, you know, we need the money. We need to hire more people. We need to get more people out there. And if memory serves me correctly, people like Al Carlson and others said, well, why don't you just move some troopers from the east and move them out west? Why don't you move them from Richland County and move them out to Williston or Williams County? And that's good enough, isn't it? Won't that be good enough for you?
Yeah,
and that was frustrating, I'm sure.
Absolutely, and I don't want to speak for him because he does a great job advocating on his own, but you talk to the superintendent of the Highway Patrol, you talk to some of the sheriffs that are in counties out in the way, and they've been begging for assistance for the last several years, and at times have been met with some roadblocks. Now, that's not to say that the state legislature and others haven't provided some assistance. But you know, when those law enforcement officials are asking, and again begging for those, they're not just, it's not just at a whim. It's because they are trying to tackle a very serious issue.
I'm going to take a phone call here from Michael. Michael, you are on KFGO with Fargo Police Chief Keith Turnus. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Mike. I just wanted to call and thank you and Chief Turnus for bringing attention to this issue. As you know, Mike, I'm the director of the Statewide Homeless Coalition.
Oh, Michael Carbone, how you doing? Good to talk to you.
Absolutely. Yeah, and you know, children who are homeless are extremely vulnerable, and there is a lot of survival sex going on among that population, but that there's also a lot of exploitation and coercion into the sex trade, and that's, you know, we've documented that, you know, as far back as 2009 or so. And I also wanted to point out to you that I recently had a contact from Prevent Child Abuse in North Dakota, and they are also really concerned about this issue, and I think they're beginning the planning stages of a real awareness campaign about this. And so, again, I'd like to hear the chief's comments about how homeless youth are affected by this, but also just make you aware that you may want to have Tim from Prevent Child Abuse on to talk about this further in a later show.
Okay, Michael, thank you. Thanks for the tip. Thanks for listening.
And he's absolutely right. Mike's dead on with what he describes in terms of homeless kids being vulnerable and susceptible to this type of activity. It continues, whether we're talking about sex trafficking or child abuse, neglect, those are very concerning issues, I think, to me and others in law enforcement across the state. I'll tell you, I would love nothing more than to be able to dedicate more time and resources to dealing with issues like child pornography, luring of minors by way of the internet and social media and those types of things. those issues continue to increase right here in Fargo. And with all of the other things that we're trying to attack, it becomes difficult to really put more and more of our personnel resources towards that. I get more and more nervous that, you know, those every day that goes by that those things get a little further and further out of control. But those are things that we continue to want to pay very close attention to before they become something that are more extreme than they already are.
Need to take a break. Fargo Police Chief Keith Turnus. We have one more segment with him. Light up the phone lines. Mighty 790 KFGO, Fargo Police Chief Keith Turnus in studio with us. A couple of questions came in via email, and one of them I don't think from Barbara. They're more parking sign related questions. I'm not sure they're quite police questions. So I'll leave that maybe more to a city commissioner or a city councilor in Fargo. We won't get to those. I want to talk to you though about the burglaries. And I don't know if there's been a rash of them, if that's the fair way to put them, but certainly there's been a number of, convenience store robberies, the Mr. Money robbery. There's been some things going on that in my time in Fargo, in the 30 years I've been here, it seems like there's more of them now than there was 30 years ago. How are you coming on those? Are there more of them now than there was 30 years ago, or what's the story?
Fair that we actually have more occurring. That too is a product of an ever growing city. I mean, the population's growing, the geography of the city's growing and changing. But I do hear from time to time that people are a little bit alarmed at the number of robberies that occur, and they think that somehow some way that it's gotten out of control. And yet, what I want people to remember, putting it in the proper perspective, is that when we look at the volume, the sheer volume of robberies, we go back and we look over the course of the last 5 years, we average about 40 robberies a year. That's the five-year average. Now, not all 40 are convenience stores. Not all 40 are banks or businesses. You know, a robbery can be where somebody walks up to another person and threatens them with a weapon or physical violence, and takes their money, their spare change, their whatever the case may be. So about 40 robberies every year. In 2013, we had 55. So certainly an increase. But sometimes I'm left with the impression that people think that issue has skyrocketed out of control. And it's a concern, no question about that. It's one of the more violent crimes that we actually see mm-hmm. here in our community. But it's not one of those issues where it's been this huge departure from years past. It's something that we'd like to see that 40 per year average actually drop. And we're working with businesses to install better security precautions and measures so that we can mitigate some of those the robberies from occurring. But again, it's one of those issues. And I don't want to minimize it, but I want to make sure people at least keep it in the proper perspective. Burglaries, a little bit of a different story there. Last year, or when we look at 2013, that's going to be a bad year for us. Our burglaries numbers are going to be up substantially. A lot of those are residential burglaries. Some are business burglaries. But some, in fact, a fair number, are still the result of where people are failing to secure their homes, lock their doors, close their windows in the summertime. We still, I think, have a lot of work to do in terms of getting people to take some of those simple precautionary measures that make it much more difficult for their home or their property to be or where they're victimized because of a burglary. But no question, 2013, we're going to see a significant jump in the number of burglaries that actually occur.
Any reason why? Can you put a finger on why more burglaries?
Not specifically. You might argue, at least in part, that some is by way of people that are still suffering some economic sanctions. A lot of people still coming to Fargo, working their way out to the western part of the state. Some people still down on their luck. Some people losing their job. So there's an economic component to it. But I think more than anything else, our burglaries are a result of where they're kind of crimes of opportunity, if you will. There's people that are out and about looking for that easy target, that garage door that's been left open, that house that's been left unlocked, And I think we're just making it still far too easy for people to be the victim of that crime.
I may have already talked about this with you, but I'll ask you because we just have a couple of minutes left. But a lot of talk now in Minnesota about legalizing medicinal marijuana. Colorado now has legalized pot. Just in general, I think if you're a resident or non-resident, you can buy legal pot in Colorado. Is that something as a law enforcement officer you would support in this area in North Dakota, Minnesota, or do you be against legalized pot of any kind?
Well, I might surprise you here, Mike, because if we were to have a discussion just about the aspects of making marijuana legal for medicinal purposes, you wouldn't get much of a fight from me because I think there's some merit to legalizing marijuana for medical purposes. I'm not convinced that the way to do that is to allow people to grow their own or to somehow self-regulate. Mm-hmm. I think if we want to deal with marijuana from a medicinal standpoint, let's deal with it just like any other prescription medication. First of all, you got to go to a doctor, and then a pharmacist has to give it to you. This idea of, I'm going to grow my own or again, self-manage how much I have, to me, that's fraught with problems. The other thing about this whole idea of just legalizing marijuana in general, with all of the hoopla that's surrounded what Colorado is doing and what other states are proposing, the one thing that surprised me that has not been part of the conversation is what are the costs going to be to the state of Colorado, as an example, for going down that path? We talk about how all they're going to, they're already reaping the benefits of all this tax revenue.
There's all kinds of tax money coming in. Yeah.
And that's one side of the discussion. But just like alcohol, which is legal, I get that. There's, alcohol's legal, why not marijuana? That's another part of the debate. But, when we talk about alcohol, there's all kinds of costs that go along with alcohol from a social perspective. I mean, we talked about the number of people that are admitted into detox. Somebody's got to pay for that. And so I'm very curious to see how a state like Colorado, how this unfolds for them in terms of not revenues, but expenses, costs that are going to come along with the legalization of marijuana. I'd like to see how that plays out. But for medicinal purposes, you won't get much of an argument from it.
Aren't those costs already there, though? Because people are smoking pot illegally. You know that better than I do, that people in Fargo are smoking pot all the time.
Yes.
So aren't the social costs already there?
Probably, in my opinion, probably not to the extent of where it's going to be if you just made it legal. Now, again, I could be wrong on that. I don't know. Well, 3, 4, 5 years from now, Colorado will have to crunch some numbers to see, are they in fact incurring a bunch of expense associated with the legalization? Are some of those expenses there now, like in North Dakota where it's illegal? Undoubtedly. But the question I have is how much more enhanced will they become if everybody's doing it, if it just becomes
everybody can drink a beer,
right?
Many more people are going to drink. Very quickly, Greg, we have about a minute left. What's your question for Chief Turnus?
You bet. Hi. Yeah, a little bit off the beaten path here. I know this isn't Keith's jurisdiction and stuff, but for those of us over here in North Dakota that own lake properties down in the Minnesota regions and stuff, Detroit Lakes and thereabouts, have you heard much of any break-ins and robberies? I haven't heard nothing. Of course, I haven't been down there in a while either, but what have you heard, Keith? And I'll hang up and listen.
Okay, Greg, thanks. Good
question. I know Becker County, even Hubbard County, they experience a rash of that from time to time every winter season. But to my knowledge, it really hasn't been anything extraordinary this year compared to years past. In fact, it's probably a little lower than what you might find in years past.
Chief Turnus, as always, thank you.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks for coming on the program.
Appreciate it.
I like this day a month that we do this.
Yeah.
It's kind of fun.
Yeah, enjoy it.
You bet. We'll get together again in February. Fargo Police Chief Keith Turnus on the Mike McFeely Show. When we return in just a few minutes, we're going to have Charlie Johnson from the Convention Visitors Bureau on briefly. I want to talk with Charlie about some of the publicity now that we're getting for being the quote-unquote drunkest city in America, which the police chief disputes, by the way, but certainly we're getting publicity out of that. Not all of it good. We'll talk.